Hello, and welcome to the Bethesda podcast feed. It's here you can find all of our recorded services. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. We hope you enjoy.
He believes in me that much? He's going to allow me to get up here on a Sunday? Amen. I don't know what he sees, but amen. Praise God. Because I know they don't just let anybody up in their pulpits. Amen. That's one thing about Brother Donovan and Sister Valerie. They love people. Amen. And, you know, they don't just let anybody go up before the flock. Amen. Praise God. And I stand here this morning with a burden. Hallelujah. Fear tried to overtake me, but I cast it aside. Amen. Praise God. I know you're standing. Amen. The scripture I'd like to open up with is 1 John 4:18. For perfect love casts out fear, because fear had torment. Amen. And then the second scripture is, I tell you what, you can go ahead and be seated right now. Amen. Lord Jesus, help me to deliver this precious word, Lord God, and to handle it with care. Help me to take my time, walk through this thing with the congregation, Lord, so that you might have your way and some clarity. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hebrews 12, 18. The Lord wants you to know that you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that can't be touched, and that is burning with fire, to a darkness, a gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them. It was terrifying. It was awesome in their sight. They cowered. They were afraid. Amen. This is a recounting story of, in the book of Exodus, we know the story. Moses was their deliverer. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them through the Red Sea. And then they were in the wilderness. Amen. To a trumpet blast or such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that even Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Amen. You know, I feel, and I know I have been struggling in that area with fear. And you know what the word says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind is what it says. Amen. But yet, reality is, when we look around us, we see a world that is falling apart. We see death, destructions everywhere, you know? It's hard to keep that mindset. That's easier said than doing. I mean, look what's going on with Israel and the Palestinian people. I mean, the suffering that is going on over there, the evil, the wickedness. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Right. And we're to pray for them. Yes. And we also to pray for the Palestinian people, too. Yeah. The Palestinian people, too. There's many of them that are caught in the crossfire that are innocent.
Right.
They'd be run by a terrorist group, Hamas, you know. Yeah. And you know, Israel is our time clock.
That's right. Yes.
It is a ticking bomb. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so, I'm here to give you this word that God put in my heart. And I pray that it falls on good ground. The Bible speaks of the parable of the sower. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and some fell between the thorns. But there were those that also fell on good ground. And I pray this morning that your heart is prepared and ready for God's word. Amen. That this word would get rooted and grounded inside of you. Amen. We're dealing with fear. That's how the enemy is attacking us. Fear brings doubt. Fear brings torment. Amen. Hallelujah. And Satan knows that. He works behind the scenes. He works behind your flaws and your failures and your fears, you know. And he rubs it in your face. And he tells you that you'll never be anything. That you can never be used by God. What's the point in praying if God is not here and he's mad at you? Oh, my God, he comes to steal. That's one of the characteristics of Satan. He knows that if you get a hold of that word, he knows the power of the word is able to change. The power of the word brings faith, and faith comes by hearing. Amen. He works very hard to steal that seed out of your heart. Amen. You know, I got to get back in the habit of this. When the word is going forth, God does not waste his breath. He does not waste this word. Amen. You know, I got to get back in the habit of just taking notes when the pastor's preaching. So I can use that and take it with me throughout the week and use that word and just kind of reiterate, you know. Pray it at times. You know, I can't tell you how many times you walk out and say, oh, man, that was a great, awesome word. That was a great service. And you go, well, what the word was on? I forgot. Amen. You see, that's what the enemy wants. Amen. And so I want to start. The foundation of this message is going to be in Exodus 3. And can you put it on the screen? I'm going to attempt to try to read that. Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a, key word, flame of fire. From the midst of, keyword, a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But, this is kind of weird, the bush was not consumed. Next verse. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight. Here's Moses. Wow. This is weird. Why isn't the bush consumed? It's on fire, but it's not consumed. Amen. Are you with me, church? Yeah. Amen. It's getting kind of quiet in here. You're making me nervous. Amen. Don't get me nervous up here. Where's my water? It's right there. Praise God. And so next verse. So when the Lord saw that he looked, he turned aside. God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now, it's supposed to be a two-way conversation. The only thing Moses gets to say is, here I am, Lord. Amen. And so then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. Key word, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon the God. Here's that fear came into Moses. He was afraid to look upon God. Amen. Afraid. And one thing I noticed about this passage is that he said that I am the God of Abraham. Now, Abraham, he called them by his changed name. And he called Isaac by his name. But what I don't understand is how you called him Jacob when his name was changed to Israel. And all throughout the Bible, when he was encouraging and he was building someone up and he was letting them know, he said, I am the God. He would got all throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, the Lord would say, I am. He reminded them, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and he kept saying Jacob. I'm like, Lord, okay, I thought you changed his name. So I'm going to build off of this foundation here. And so what you see in the burning bush, we call a theophany. It's a strange and unusual way that God sometimes display himself. All throughout the Bible, you see it. You see the theophanies of God. That's what we call it, a theophany, when God displays himself in an unusual way. For the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, when they were in the wilderness, the Bible says he was the pillar of cloud by day. He was the fire by night. He was the rock that followed them and gave them water. You don't think that's strange? That's stranger than the burning bush. Amen. Praise God. The angel of the Lord at times. He was the whirlwind with Job. When he spoke to Job, he came in the whirlwind. In the New Testament, he came in the form of a dove. Sometimes he came in a human form. And so he revealed himself to all these characters from Joshua. He was the commander of the army, the mighty angel. Abraham, he came in different types of forms at times, in a human appearance, in an angel. Moses had several spectacular situations where the Lord appeared to him. And then you know Jacob wrestled with a man. Amen. Gideon. It was the angel of the Lord that went to Gideon and say, well, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, it's just like, what are you doing? Oh, mighty man, a mighty man that is hiding, that is cowarding. And that's what I'm here to tell you, church. The Bible says that them that know their God, they shall do what? Great exploits. Amen. That's what the word of God says. This is not the norm. We're not living in the norm right now. It's not normal right now. The things I'm seeing, I thought I would have never see in my generation. That thing snapped on us so fast, it crept on us, man, I don't know where it came from. God is not slack concerning his promises. He sees all. He knows all. He's omniscient. He knows all and sees everything. Just like Israel was caught off guard, the Lord is telling us to watch and pray. Not to fear. He said, when you see those things come, he said, what? Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Amen. Thank you, brother. Praise God. That's encouraging. That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Preach with me. Amen. Encourage me as I give this word. And so man has always been, since the fall in the garden, we know the story. Everybody knows the story. I don't have to rehash it. But in Genesis 3, verse 8, he said, I'm just going to pick out a few parts in there that I want to focus on. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, and the Bible said, after sin entered in, guess what happened? Fear came inside of them. And what did they do? When they heard the Lord this time, when they heard the presence of the Lord walking through the garden, and that's how the Bible says. I don't know how you hear the presence of the Lord, but amen. Probably the whistle, I don't know, the trees and all that stuff there, but that's how the Bible puts it. And the Bible said that they ran from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord called to Adam, where art thou? And I'm here to say that's what God is asking us. Where are thou? Why are you hiding? Why are you fearful? The Bible says it's of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed. Amen. You see, when Moses looked at the bush, he had to turn aside and take a second glance at it. It's like, wait a minute. This thing is not being burned up. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You with me, church?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so Adam answered, I was afraid, so I hid. Because I was naked. And the Lord said, who told you you were naked? It was never God's will to have a separation between his most precious creation, his love, man. The Bible says that even the angels desired to look into this. When you look at the mercy seat that was in the tabernacle, in the holies of holies, you had two angels just hovering over that mercy seat. Praise God. David said, someone said in the Bible, it's in the Bible, it says, what is man that you are so mindful of him? That you would make him a little lower than the angels and crown him with glory. I mean, do you realize, church, that we're gonna be judges. We're gonna judge angels. Paul dealt with that in the church. He said, man, y'all can't settle a minor situation in the body. Don't you know that one day you're gonna judge angels? Amen. Kings and priests. And God's wanting us to act like that. Amen. Why? Because he has paid the price. He has paved the way for us. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And so why the burning bush? Why the theophanies? Why that particular theophany? In a theophany, God has a purpose, a highlighted purpose in that. The purpose is to reveal something about the character of God. It reveals his glory, but the main purpose is his glory. But to reveal that part of him that he's trying to put in mankind. And so, God has proven it over and over again that he desires mercy over judgment. Matter of fact, he said in his word, before the foundations of the world was laid, the Lamb of God was already slain. In God's mind, being that he knows the beginning from the end, he already prepared a way. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God desires fellowship. That was the whole purpose of creation. He made us for what? His good pleasures. Amen. And so we got to guard our heart, church. And I'm hoping this word would make you look deep down inside and look at yourself in the mirror and say, what does hinder me from going forward? God is a moving God. Amen. There's no in between. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Amen. The Bible says we go from faith to faith. And from glory to glory. God is interested in moving a people forward. There's some dreams. There's some visions that's not being fulfilled. Why? Because you have let the enemy talk you into a cave. Amen. You're letting the enemy get in your ear. I remember I had a situation that happened, and it was a catastrophe for me. And I remember crying out to the Lord and just crying out, and Lord, this is going to ruin me, Lord. You know, how can I ever be able to stand back in a pulpit too with that? My name is going to be destroyed. And I remember I had a dream. And I guess I was in the water. I was swimming. And there was these crocs that was coming after me. And these two big dogs jumped in the water to rescue me. And the croc caught one of the dog's ears. So I woke up from that dream. I'd been praying. I'd been crying and weeping and distressed and destroyed. And I called my aunt. I said, can you interpret this dream for me? Can you help me understand this? She said, baby, it's simple. You have let the enemy get in your ear. Amen. And the Lord took me to Job. And he talks about this creature with fire that comes out of his mouth. He's describing this display. I wish I would have been prepared and had that scripture for you, but I think it's Job 51. I'm not sure, whatever. But just read it. You'll find it. It's in the Bible. And Job, he's describing these creatures to Job because Job questioned God. And then God answered him with a question. Amen. Right. Job was fearful. Why? Because of what he was going through. Amen. Job didn't know what happened behind the scene. We get to read what happened behind the scene. As a matter of fact, I don't even think God ever told him. I think he died not knowing what happened and what it was all about. Most likely. And some things we're just not going to know until we get on the other side. God's ways are different from ours. He's not like us, y'all. He's different. I mean, way different. The Bible says, so as his ways are higher than our ways, so is the Lord. His ways are higher than our ways. So as heaven is above and earth is beneath. Hallelujah. And so in Job, he's describing this dragon-like creature. Fire came out of his mouth. It had teeth of iron. It had scales on his back. And in the dream, I'm like, wow, it was some crocs. And I was like, so God is just describing this creature. You know, there's so many allegories in God's word, just like the context I just read, the situation with Moses and God in the burning bush and all that stuff. And it talks about the scales and that no man could put his hand or tame him, that animal. And then at the end of that scripture goes, well, he is the Lord of all the pride. I'm like, well, wait a minute. He's describing a spirit. And this spirit, the Lord said, it told me, he said, this is the one that you cannot touch. This is the one that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Yeah. And he is Lord over all the prideful. And where was it? Where was his strength at? It was in his mouth. It was his teeth. And the Bible gives a description that if you try to put your hand to it, You might not get that hand back. No man can tame it. So this is a serious spirit. This spirit here, the Lord showed me in that revelation that I got from the dream, and I went to his word, and I opened it to that, and God began to reveal that to me. He said, this is the spirit of all mouths. The tongue is unruly. He said, the tongue has destroyed nations, churches, and families. Amen. That's how powerful that thing is. And the Lord said, you can't touch this. This is mine. Amen. You ever like when you've been lied on and cheated on, and you try to make it right, you try to defend yourself, and it just makes it worse? Yeah. Am I the only one in here?
No.
It just gets worse. Amen. And you look like the bad. Then you start feeling guilty. I must have did it, you know? And so the Bible said the Lord, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel in Ezekiel. Amen. The rims and the eyes. Hallelujah. This strange sight explains God's omniscience. Amen. And so here we have God is dealing with us, fallen man, after the garden. After that, everyone is born into sin. And those sins are just compiled and compiled and compiled, and we come out messed up. Amen. That's why the Bible says that we must be what? Born again of the water and of the Spirit. So if you haven't had that, amen, the Bible says you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you be born of the water and of the Spirit. He told Nicodemus, he said, you are a teacher and you don't understand this? Amen. Praise God. And so the heart of man since the fall has been desperately wicked, and the Bible says, who can know it? But the all-knowing God, the eyes of the Lord is in every place. He sees everything. He sees the hidden chambers of our heart. Amen. Yeah. He knows, hallelujah, what you're hiding. Amen. But guess what? I come to tell you that he's not gonna be angry at you. He's just telling you to come before me. Bring it before me, this is what the Lord said. Those walls that we have built up with fear, God is saying, look, let me tear those walls down. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He said, come. God is gentle. He is merciful. Amen. He said, come and let us reason together. You don't have to be afraid. I'm not going to burn you up and destroy you. I'm just going to burn those things outside of you. Those things that are inside are not right. I'm going to burn up those things. But it's all for, amen. Let me go to Jeremiah. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. That's what God wants to do. Not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and a future. Amen. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen, says the Lord. You will seek me and you will find me with all of your heart. If you come and seek me with all of your heart, you will find me, says the Lord. I will be found by you, declared the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Some of us started off strong. And then at some point, we begin to look at the boisterous waves like Peter did. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, amen, fear will overtake you. But we have a God that's not going to let you just stay there. Amen. Is that right? Amen. He is merciful. His plans is to prosper you. Amen. He wants good things for his children. Don't you want good things for your children? Amen. And he's the God that has greater love than our love. He doesn't have love. He is love. Psalms 124 says, and if the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been swallowed up alive by our enemies and destroyed by their anger. We'd have drowned beneath the flood of these men's fury. You know, when you dove through some of the characters in the Bible, they all had issues with fear. Now, there's a good fear and there's a bad fear. Right. Amen. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. That's respect. Amen. He said it. I believe it. It's his word. If his word say to do it, do it. Amen. Oh, lost my track. What was I going with this? Amen.
The fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord. That's right. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, I was talking about good fear and a bad fear. God's intentions is not for us to be afraid of him. He wants that one-on-one relationship. And he proves it all throughout the Bible. I have so many scriptures that talk about the mercy of the Lord. The nature and the character of God is love. And love, mercy follows. Love supersedes all things. The Bible says, out of these three remain faith, hope, and love. And then it says, but love is the greatest. Amen. Praise God. And so, even that's where I was at. I'm back to it. So if you look at some of the characters in the Bible, I tend to focus on this one man, Jonah. We all know Jonah and the whale, Jonah and the fish. Amen. Jonah struggled. You know, that fallen state that we in, you know, that fear that's in us, we sometimes interject that fear unto others. And sometimes we want God to destroy people, but God is not in the business of this. The Bible says that it's not his will that man should what? Perish. Amen. God would rather show mercy than judgment. And you see it all throughout the Bible, and you also see it in your own lives. How many times when you know you did wrong willfully, and when you prayed, God forgave? Amen. So Jonah, we know the story. The Lord said, go down to Nineveh and pronounce judgment on them. And the first thing he did, he got him a plane ticket, a ship ticket, a cruise, a carnival cruise. Amen. And we all know how that ended. It didn't go well for Jonah. So out of the belly of the whale, Jonah prayed. Here's the mercy of God. Amen. When the bars and the gates overcame him, and he was in this darkness and this smelly and wet place, and he prayed out of the belly of the fish, and the Lord heard him. And then, Jonah, go do what I ask you to do. So he went. We all know the story. It wasn't like a Sodom and Gomorrah. These people repented. They even made the animals repent. They made them fast, too. We're going to fast. You're going to fast, too. Amen. That's right. Praise God. And so they repented. And here's Jonah. He's depressed. He's angry. And we know the story. The Lord asks, well, what's wrong? Why are you so angry? And this is what Jonah says. This is why I fled. I know that you are a compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Thank God that we have a God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Even Elijah had it wrong. Because when he hid in the cave, the Bible said that God was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. Amen. But it was a small, still voice. Amen. For time's sake, I'm going to hit and start winding down. That didn't look right. That didn't look right at all. But that's what you told me to do. Praise God. For the Lord your God, in Deuteronomy 4:31, it said, for the Lord Your God is a merciful God, and he will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. The Bible also describes God as gracious, righteous, and full of compassion. And so I'm going to leave you with that other part. I'm going to have to skip over all this stuff here for time's sake. Amen. So what is it about calling Abraham by his changed name, Isaac by his name? All right, where's the dog on page? I know it's somewhere in here. Here it is. So we know the story of Abraham. Abraham walked by faith. He trusted and believed God. He had a few bumps along the way on the journey. And sometimes he was full of faith and sometimes father of faith, Isaac. Isaac just kind of had, to me, it was kind of like a boring life. He was the son of the promise. Amen. Praise God. You don't see nothing too great about Isaac. Isaac walked faithfully before the Lord. Isaac was a type and shadow of Jesus. Because the man had to be in his 20s when Abraham was offering him up to be a sacrifice. So he had to willfully go with his father. Oh, but there's Jacob, full of flaws, manipulator, deceitful, sowing mistrust, favoritism, not a good parent, amen, terrible father, had some good traits and had some bad traits. But hey, what does he tell Moses? I am the God of Abraham, and I am also the God of Isaac, and yep, Jacob. He didn't call him by his changed name. And you know, that's how it is with us sometimes, amen. God has changed us. We had that new birth experience. And then sometimes we fall back into the old man, that old nature. But let me tell you about God, and let me tell you about Jacob. Jacob did not give up on the Lord. And guess what? The Lord did not give up on him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm bad with closing a service. If you feel the need to come up here and you need prayer for it, please do. I feel God is calling some people to come out of their fears. Lay it on the altar is what he's saying. Lay it down. Cast your cares on me, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy, is what the Lord says. He wants to tear that wall down. Why? Because he wants to bless you. He is a good father. He is a good God. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord. And I'm going to close with this. So that bush symbolized deity and humanity. For our God is a consuming fire. Wood is perishable. It's a reminder of man's mortality. But thank God for the man that was able to withstand God's judgment. And his name is Jesus. Amen. He took upon the fire. Amen. And was not burned up. Amen. He was found righteous. Amen. He alone became our great high priest. Hallelujah. Because there was no sin found in him. Thank you, Lord. being fully God, but yet he was fully man. A mystery. A great mystery. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. And for more information, you can visit us at gobethesda.com. You can also visit us in person at 15050 Daigle Road, Prairieville, Louisiana. Services are at 10 a.m. Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday.